there, and welcome to the Rookie Pastor Podcast. My name is Eric Mavitt. I'm the pastor of Bailey Presbyterian Church, and thank you for tuning back in. Not really a radio show, but downloading. There we go. Well, anyway, we are in episode 2. This is part 2 of a 3-part conversation that I had with my good friend Mason Kuipel, the senior pastor of North Point Presbyterian Church, a neighboring church. We're only 5 miles apart from each other, and we had a great conversation. And today we're going to continue into discussion of church and the coronavirus, and then also to talk about a bit about technology, stuff like that. And then also we'll be getting into some of the more pastoral counseling side of this. And be sure to come back tomorrow as well, because we'll have our final episode wrapping up that conversation. I hope it's been encouraging to you. It was really great for me to have. Already been getting some good feedback from folks. So please, again, if you have anything that you want to commented on, expanded on, that you disagree on, feel free to reach out to us. And with that, let's just jump right back into the conversation.
So what about like technology wise? So, I mean, we talked about some of the challenges with live stream and stuff, but what are some of the positives that you guys have seen over at North Point in terms of like the technology, some of the things you've been doing, some of the feedback you've been getting from folks?
As far as the technology, like,
what other than live streaming, are you guys using text messaging services? Are you using, emails? Are you using emails? What are the communication tools that you're using to connect your people?
Yeah. Well, I've used emails to connect to people, but one of the things, you know, man, Zoom, is probably, going to go up in stock here after all of this. We've had our women's group meet a video conference. We've had session meetings. I know you guys just had one session and deacon meeting video conference. We had our men's group meet last night via video conference. I'm doing communicants class via video conference. I mean, so, you know, that's something, you know, that's been convicting for me. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of an old man in a younger man's body. And I tend to think of technology, and I think a lot of us do this, especially as conservative evangelicals, you know, like, you know, the doomsday sort of Terminator scenario when we think of technology and its advancement. But this has really caused me to see what a blessing technology is for us as a church, and something we can praise God for. Who is a creative God and has created us to be creative. And that creativity of the image bearers of God has led to a point where in this virus, we are able to do things. We mentioned the Black Plague of the 16th century that they could have never done before. And we are really seeing the benefits of that, especially through these video conferences.
Yeah. It's very similar for us. You guys are a little ahead of us on that in that area. We're looking at testing out a Sunday school class, like format, because one of our Sunday school teachers, he really does like it's real discussion heavy. So it's group participation. It's not lectures. So we're looking at doing, having him do a lecture. I'm sorry, lecture, have him doing a Sunday school class on Zoom. So we're looking at, you know, maybe testing that out. And we've been using mainly emails and a text messaging service to keep people connected together. We had officers calling people in the church and just trying to keep up with folks that way and trying to just process through. And so I've been doing a lot more administrative work and trying to just kind of become kind of the administrator in chief, just trying to have all the information that's sending out just stuff, prayer lists. And again, send out an update today on kind of what resources are available, what we're doing, what's available out there. Like, you know, Ligonier made all their stuff free through the end of June. It was like, you know,
I've got to make that available to, I saw that too.
Yeah. I was like, I want to go watch that, that Michael Kruger's New Testament canon course.
Yeah. I actually did watch, what's his name? Stephen Nichols, Jonathan Edwards one, which is fantastic.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. So they got great stuff. So, trying to do that. And there's this thing inside of you, like as a pastor, and where you're just kind of like, you're hesitant sometimes to like recommend stuff that's not inside your church,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
but this stuff is really, really good. So,
oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So the video conferencing, things like that. I mean, all of it's been really, I think, been really helpful. And honestly, I mean, even having pretty much everybody in my church has been able to navigate. I think there's only maybe one member of my church that I can think of. There's very few who aren't able to navigate like their smartphone and to get the messages and to be able to even listen to sermons. And some that aren't, there's actually more than one. So there's a few that aren't, but their family members have been able to figure out how to get them access to it. And so this, the technology has really been able to spread that out. But I want to circle back to the idea of worship. So we talked about kind of how it's not, you know, we miss gathering together. So what about the kind of online church aficionado guy who's just like, see, online church, it works. It's just the same. You're all online churches now. You know, you're welcome. Like, so what's the difference between a worship service and sending out even live streaming a sermon or having a sermon available for digital download?
Yeah. I'm sorry, you broke up for a good 5 seconds there, so I didn't catch everything you said.
Sorry. I hope this recording's good. what would you say to, like, you know, that guy who's just like, yeah, we're all online churches now. Right. It's all good. It's fine. It's all the same. Like, so I guess, how would you respond to that side of the argument?
I think I would respond by saying, at least with my church, all I've heard from my sentiment is, yeah, it was nice to see you. See your face preaching, but it certainly isn't the same.
Yeah.
And I think people that enjoy the fellowship of God's people will know that it's not the same. And it certainly isn't the same. You know, and one of the things that I would say is what I've noticed, you know, for the last 2 weeks before this past Sunday, we all tuned into First Pres. Listen, you got dynamic preacher and David Strain there. And I love the service. They've got wonderful musicians. It's fan, you know, it's a great service.
Yeah.
But you've got distractions over here. You've got all sorts of distractions. There's something to say about the very setting that you're in when you're listening to a sermon, when you're partaking in a service. Church is much more than just simply getting all the same content. I mentioned it recently to someone. I miss the process of getting up and putting on church clothes.
Yeah.
The very process is different than the previous 6 days. That makes it almost holy in a sense. There's a consecration to the very way I prepare to go, the very leaving and entering into church.
I haven't worn a bow tie in weeks, you know?
Well, we dress up in our suit and ties, even for, no, we don't. But just like the thing I would say is that worship is much more than just getting all the right content. Worship is about the aesthetic surrounding you. Worship is about the process of engaging, of leaving your home and going, right? That's what you would see in the Old Testament. They would leave their homes and go on pilgrimages to the temple. There's that pilgrimage idea and concept of moving away from your home to the home of God's people. So I guess I would say that Sunday is much more than just content oriented. It's the aesthetic, it's the fellowship, it's the very process of how you get ready. All of that serves to show the holiness and the special sanctity of the day.
And I think this goes back to the to Mark Dever's argument about And should explain it. I don't think we explained it very much before, but Mark Dever, pastor over at Capitol Hill Baptist, basically said that the churches should not meet during this time. And further, he wasn't making any kind of prescription for anybody else, but he just said for his church, they were not going to release any sermons. They were not doing any kind of like, well, I say any kind, but they were not going to do any kind of worship centered of audio or visual ministry. Because of that idea of lamenting, missing the service, longing for the gathering, and that people should simply just worship as families in their homes as best they can. And then as soon as we can gather together, we'll gather together. And I think that's a perfectly fine response. Like, it's up to each session, you know, the leadership of the church to make those decisions for the people. They're you know, given the charge over the flock under their care. And so that idea of going to, I think what is attractive about that is that it highlights the covenantal nature of the community of God's people and the special blessed time that is when we gather together. When we say blessed, we don't just mean that like that hashtag blessed, right? We mean it in the sense of the Holy Spirit is specially with his covenant people when we gather together to worship in a way that he is not with us when we are not gathered together. And so, you know, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not with us when we gather together, yeah, when we worship.
Yeah, Jesus didn't mean when two or three. Yeah. Yeah.
No, Jesus didn't
mean when two or three are gathered together, you know, via video live stream. I mean, he meant when two or three are gathered together in body. So yeah, that's a great point.
So go ahead.
It's, you know, I think there's an analogy. It didn't come from me. Leah listened to the women here at North Point are in their book study going through the book of Hebrews, a class that's taught by Dr. Kruger, actually. Michael Kruger, president over at RTS Charlotte, he offers it for free on the RTS Charlotte website. And I watched the session last night, and he was going over Hebrews 10 and discussing the difference between the old covenant and the types and shadows of the sacrifices versus the real true substance in Jesus Christ. And he likened it, the analogy he used was long distance dating. And long distance dating is a lot better now than it used to be because of video conference. But he said, how much better is it when you're face to face with the person rather than doing video conference? And he likened that to old covenant versus new covenant realities. And I think, you know, it's obviously not a one-to-one correlation with what we're speaking of here, but I do think it's, you know, applicable to kind of what we're speaking about here is that to engage in body and to engage in the substance is to engage with the body together, not at a distance, but in fellowship with one another, close union and fellowship, which is reminiscent of the now close union and fellowship we have with Christ, who has now come the substance, no longer from a distance in types and shadows, but present with us even in and near our very hearts by his Spirit. So I found that analogy very helpful, and I think it is relatable to this question.
That's good. And I think what we're doing is as well is just in this time, we're just trying to find the things that can fill the gap. The reason that I'm recording sermons and releasing them, the reason that I want to do that is not because I feel like they are an adequate replacement for worship. They're simply the thing that I can produce and do to encourage my church members in this time until we can gather together. So, they are a stopgap, and my prayer and hope and trust in the Lord is that he will use these things, you know, that are done in faith in extraordinary times for the building up of his people. And it's been neat to hear, you know, I'll get, it's, you know, it's funny because, you know, at the end of the service, people do the, you know, a lot of, do the, you know, the shake hand and good sermon, you know, and do that thing at the end.
People say good sermon to you? Oh, man.
sorry. We're going to talk about pastoral counseling in a minute, so we can go there. I was getting some text messages from a couple of church members saying how much the sermon really meant them. But it was funny because I was getting them at different times. So I found out when, you know, so it tells you when they listen to it. And that person that texted me on Tuesday, I'm looking at them a little cockeyed. No, just kidding. But just kind of like that. But then I also had some other people who, you know, had one very distant family member, you know, just basically say that they needed to turn their life over to the Lord, you know? It was really neat to see that, going on. So, let's move over into the areas, kind of some pastoral counseling stuff. All right. So how are you talking to church members generally, encouraging them to approach this time, you know, talking to, I guess that's pretty fairly vague, but are there common kind of things that you seem to be communicating to your people?
Started what we're calling last week. We started, it's going to be a Thursday video devotional, and following the devotional, devote ourselves to prayer as a body. And the first reason I made it my video devotional is because I think it's something that we often neglect, and that is family worship. I don't know if you want me to hold off on this. I know that this was going to be a topic for a later time.
Oh, no. Actually, no, this is good. It's a good time to talk about it. So,
you know, I've always been struck and so blessed by the reformers, and especially the Puritans, and their emphasis on private family worship. And, you know, it's something that is so often neglected. And part of the reason it's more neglected today, not to give ourselves an excuse, but we're just much more busy today than people in the 16th and 17th century. And our biggest enemy is the clock. And I felt like it was a perfect time to encourage the flock in something that we should be doing, whether coronavirus is around or not, but also saying, I mean, what a time that God is giving to us when that clock is not as much an enemy to us in this time. And we have this time to devote ourselves to private family worship, and how important that is, especially while we're unable to gather together as God's flock. So my first video message was to really encourage in that biblical practice, and what was such a heavy emphasis of the reformers to engage in private family worship. And this Thursday, I'm planning on looking into anxiety. And I think that's, you know, probably the chief temptation at this point is to be filled with angst. I mean, there's so much uncertainty swirling around this whole thing that, you know, you read 10 different opinions and you get 10 different opinions, 10 different people. And teaching, you know, Matthew 6, tomorrow belongs to the Lord, deal with what is in front of you today. You know, I'm going to be quoting Deuteronomy 29:29 this Sunday, you know, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Why coronavirus? How long coronavirus is going to you know, be here, but the things that are revealed are for us so that we might do everything in his law. And so I think that's where our focus really as a body needs to be, not to worry about tomorrow, not to worry about when this is all going to be done, but to engage in God's revealed word and seek to do that which is within our control to do at this time, and not worry about those things that are out of our control. So I think anxiety is certainly something that everyone's sort of struggling with at this point, and we as pastors really need to counsel people through. And on that point, real quick, you mentioned free articles and free stuff that people are offering. I saw that Tim Challey's on his webpage offered all these different things that are free. And one of them was WTS, Westminster Theological Seminary. They have 15 of their favorite chapters from all different sorts of books, a lot of them pastoral counseling books, and a lot of it geared towards anxiety. And I read a great chapter from that on lamenting, how to properly lament. So that's been a great resource, and I would really encourage people to go there. Just 15 different chapters on things like anxiety, lament, and things that are applicable to this time.
Well, that's really good. So we talk about dealing with anxiety and as a major issue, and that's absolutely true. And so you've got, you know, we've got an age of, you know, we always talk about how we live in this age of outrage, an age of anxiety and fear and panic go really hand in hand, right? Because the same mechanisms that fuel the outrage also kind of flip the switch and fuel the panic and the fear. And so there is kind of a sense of where it's like, you know, you see advice, and it's wise, which is just to, like, one of the best things I've seen is to, like, I heard one guy, he was talking about how he and his wife, they schedule times to freak out. So they're like, in the morning, in the evening.
Yeah.
In the morning, we check the news, we freak out a little bit, you know, and then in the evening, we check the news, we freak out a little bit, and then we go, you know, in between, we go about our day. And so I think, and especially as we're getting quarantined, you know, I think the shelter at home orders, things like that, you know, I think making sure that we're scheduling, I mean, there's a sense where it's just like, that we're scheduling, you know, physical exercise, making sure that we're being intentional about our diet, making sure that we're scheduling time to get into the Word and to pray and to really even, like, really kind of go hard on the scheduling a bit, because the temptation is to sit there on the Worldometer website, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's got, and just hitting refresh and watching the tallies go up, you know? It's just like, is there no news? Well, there's news. More people have it. You know, more people have recovered,
right?
But and it's spreading. But it's just kind of like, it's at what point is, you know, I think we have to, you know, say, okay, you know what, I need to have this amount of information, and then I've been preaching in Ecclesiastes, and he talks about oppression and dealing with a world of oppression where you're helpless to change it. So what do you do? And so he says, basically, he says that one of the only things you can do is to find joy and to rejoice in your work. And then also to trust that God will do justice, you know? And similarly, you know, this, we do the hygiene, we do the social distancing, we do the shelter at home, we do the things we can, but like what you were saying, we do the things we can control. We trust to God the things that we can't. And we have to continue living our lives, and so you know, within the constraints that are placed upon us. And I think that's really that's the general counsel that I'll give to people.
Yeah, and I think that's really good that. I think giving the directives as to how they are to do these things is one thing to say, don't be anxious. Okay. That's really good. You need to pray. But I think your emphasis, I think that's really helpful. Work out, do things that are healthy for you. Those remedies to anxiousness, I think is very helpful.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to circle back to the family worship thing. So we can do a little more. We can do another time where we really get into some of the weeds on family worship. So basically what I do is I use a summary. I think it comes from Donald Whitney when I explain family worship, which is just, look, just, you know, keep it simple. and just do three things. Do, if you don't have like a sermon to listen to, you just sing, you pray, and you read. Just three things. So just sing hymns and psalms that you know, that you're familiar. Don't stress yourself out trying to read music if you don't know how to do that. Just do what you know, and then pray, and pray for lots of things, but pray for your anxieties and fears. Pray with your family, let your kids pray, you know, and then read, and read the scriptures. And you don't have to deliver a sermon. You can just read the Word of God and then have a short discussion on it, you know, and that's family worship in a nutshell. And yeah. I just tell people, look, don't overthink it. It's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward if you've never done it before, or if you don't have kids and you like, family worship is for couples. Family worship is even for individuals. Absolutely. It's just personal worship. It's but it's the same thing every time. It's just sing, pray, read. If you do those three things, you're nailing it. I don't know. What would you add to that?
No, I mean, in the video devotional, I essentially said the same thing. And, you know, I think you're really, I think it's helpful what you said to keep it simple. You know, I've told people in my church, it's a quote from Derek Thomas, and I think it was a Wisdom Wednesday, you know, at RTS that they give. And he was talking about your devotional plan. And the first thing he said, and it was really helpful for me, he said, don't plan your devotional life. Don't put a burden on yourself where all it's going to set you up for is guilt.
Yeah.
Because he said, we as freed Christians are not made anew in Christ to feel guilty and the burden of guilt. Yeah. So don't, especially if you're first starting off with this, don't, you know, the way I put it in the video, thinking with these worship services, maybe they will be very powerful. And I hope and I pray that there will be, but like you said, keep it simple, read, pray, sing, and make sure that you're doing those three things. And the more we get comfortable, the more we launch into half hour to an hour, but keep it simple. Don't place a burden of guilt on you. Don't place something on you that you know that you will not live up to.
Yeah.
And I think that's really helpful advice.
So you're saying do Matthew Henry's 4 chapters a day Bible reading plan or you're a failure, right?
Well, and I quote, and I told you what Carl Truman said about...
You did. I forgot. Tell me in.
Reading these biographies on, you know, Jonathan Edwards and these giants, he goes, you know, they're great books. He goes, but I always go away just feeling guilty.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm never going to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Carl Truman, you know, he's certainly, you know, on the upper echelon of the theological world. And it was, you know, that's refreshing to hear things like that. And it's true. You know, there's some brighter stars in the world of Christianity than others. And
oh, yeah,
certainly we read those guys and they convict us and they direct our hearts toward heaven and a Christian life. But I do think that advice to not place upon yourself that's going to do nothing but bring you guilt is very helpful advice.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today's episode. We will pick back up tomorrow with part 3 in this conversation. I hope this was edifying for you. And if you want to get in touch with me, then feel free to email me at eric@baileychurch.com. And I'd love to hear from you, listen to any feedback that you got for us. And that's really it. So for the Rookie Pastor Podcast, I'm Eric Mavitt. And remember, just one step at a time.